The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who are convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, which we've been reading through this past liturgical year, there's all sorts of times that Luke kind of flips things on its head. He's the one that has the only gospel that has the story of the prodigal son. It's the only one that has the story of the good Samaritan. And when three people pass by, the least likely one is the one that actually helps out his neighbor, the Samaritan. And we can hear this parable and think that maybe that's just what Luke is doing again, that he wants to surprise us, that we would think the Pharisee would be the good one, the one that God is pleased with. And it turns out that the tax collector is the good one, the one that God is pleased with and goes home justified. And that's part of this story, but I think it goes a little bit deeper. Because I think in recounting this story to those that were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else, I think Jesus' point with this is not just to point out who's right and who's wrong, who's good and who's bad, but instead that we can start to see that there's a little bit of both the tax collector and the Pharisee in us. And to encourage that part that's more like the tax collector, that lives a life of humility, noticing our own sinfulness, or putting it another way, noticing our own need for God and his goodness. Not just seeing that we are already good enough and we don't really need God, but instead seeing that we need him more and more. And that's what actually brings us to him. This past week, we were gathered together as for the clergy conference with all the priests and Bishop Kimmy out of the Spiritual Life Center. And we heard from Father John Ricardo, and he really reminded us of the basic truth of the gospel. That it's not just that Jesus came to fix the world. He didn't come just to take out all the bad stuff and bring only good stuff. But he would assert that Jesus came to rescue us. Before Jesus, we are literally held captive by Satan and sin and death. And Jesus comes to set us free. He comes to pick a fight with the evil one. But that story doesn't really mean that much if we think we already have everything that we need. If we think like the Pharisee that, well, Lord, I'm pretty good already, so thanks for all the things you've done for me. I'm going to go on my merry little way. That's really the understanding, I would say classically or historically, of what pride is. Now, pride isn't just that we think we've done a good job or that we're really happy with the accomplishments we've made. Sinful pride in the Christian tradition is that I don't actually need God. That's why St. Thomas and others call it the root of all sins, the root of the original sin of Adam and Eve. It's not that how we kind of usually use the word pride, that that's bad to think that we've done something good. It's when we go to the extent that think that we don't actually need God, that it almost inoculates us from coming close to him. And in that pride, we kind of create a buffer around ourselves that doesn't need or want what God wants to give, because We've already done all the things that we need to do. We've already received what we need from God, his life and his goodness, maybe salvation through baptism and the sacraments. So we might as well just go our own way. I think that's a better way to understand the problem with the Pharisee in today's gospel. It's not just that he thinks he does good things, then he looks around and he goes, well, it's actually better to do what I do, that I'm glad, Lord, that I pray and I pay tithes of things. I do the stuff that I'm supposed to do. I'm not greedy or dishonest or adulterous. I don't think Jesus' point was the Pharisee's wrong because he should actually be doing those things. But because in his pride, he kind of inoculates himself from God, he starts to not only keep a distance from God, but also to despise those around him. But if we start to see ourselves as rescued by God, that we were entrapped and enslaved to sin and evil before the gift of Jesus' salvation, then we see that, yes, that's a good thing that we've received it, and hopefully it's changed how we live. But also, hopefully it helps us to be like the tax collector, to realize in our humility that we still need God even more, that we want to be rescued again. We want to come close to him and receive that gift anew. That's why St. Augustine said that the church is not meant to be a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. Not that we want to stay in our sinfulness. It's not that we want to kind of navel gaze and focus on all the bad things that we have done or continue to struggle with. But that we, like the tax collector in the gospel, can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am a sinner, and so I need you. I need your help, yes, to overcome those sins, but also just to live and love in the way that I want to. That instead of looking at sin as just the bad things that we've done, the things that maybe we'll get punished for because we've broken the rules, we can start to see sin as the times that we have missed the mark. Not just the mark of being like Jesus or being perfect, but missing the mark of generous love. When we make that examination of our conscience at the beginning of Mass, we don't just think, okay, here are the ways that I broke the rules that Jesus gave us. I start to say, Lord, how are the ways that I haven't actually loved others well this week? How are the ways that I would like to maybe be more patient and loving to those around me? That I've missed the mark of that gift of patience that, Lord, on my own, I really can't do. I know myself very well enough to know that if I keep trying, I'll keep coming up short. But in my sinfulness, I trust that I need your help and that you will give it. And instead of buffering ourselves with our pride, thinking, Lord, I'm so bad and I will never be good at this patience thing, we have a totally different approach when we come to him. We can say, Lord, I am really bad at patience, but I trust that you can help me with that. That you can free me from it and help me to hit the mark. That I can love generously and sacrificially like you do for us. But then our examination of our sins doesn't just become the things that God might see as bad in us. It starts to become the ways that we want to do better, the ways that we know that we have missed the mark of love. We can say, Lord, I want to be more kind and forgiving. Lord, I want to be able to be more zealous in my prayer for you. Sometimes we look back at the week and we go, Lord, I did a lot of prayers, but I don't know how much praying I actually did. And again, I think in humility, that doesn't offer us a chance to beat ourselves up and just go, oh, you're so bad at this again. Offers us a chance, like the tax collector, to say, Lord, I do need your help. On my own, I'm going to keep stumbling and falling in the same way. That's why I come to you in the church. I come to this field hospital for sinners to get the medication and strength that I need from the Lord our God. And I'll allow myself to be puffed up in pride, but even in my lowliness and poverty, I can have humility, knowing that I do need the Lord and that he'll give me exactly what I need. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for that true gift of humility. Not that we think less of ourselves or notice all our weaknesses and failures. But we can honestly just see those areas that we need God and his help. And we won't allow pride to kind of buffer us from God's presence or his help. But instead that even our sins and our weaknesses can be opportunities to trust in him. Like the tax collector, we can say, Lord, Be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know exactly what I need or how you're going to help me to overcome this difficulty, but I trust that you can help me and that you will. Let us pray that with that spirit of humility, we can approach the Lord both in the Word of God and in His Blessed Sacrament. That as we receive this Eucharist, as we receive that source of salvation, that source of healing and strength in our daily lives, we can receive that help from God our Father. Being humble enough in His presence to ask for His help. Humble enough that our moments of weakness can become moments of strength. Because with humility instead of pride, those weaknesses can be moments where Christ lives in us.